Hey there, and welcome to the Lead Bold podcast, a place where we engage in inspiring conversations with leaders in ministry and ministry partnerships. These discussions allow for us to learn more about different leaders and their experiences as we navigate questions about their call to ministry, the challenges they have faced, things they wish they knew or would share with others, and so, so much more about what it means to live into their calling. This community is truly a place to find those who get you. And we hope that what you hear encourages you and gives you takeaways for your own journey. Here's a little bit about our guest today. Well, you are just going to love this episode today with Dr. Antoinette Brookins, affectionately known as Lady Net. She is a pastor's wife, licensed mental health professional, and the sole owner and operator of a psychotherapy practice. She founded the Holy Ghost Homegirls LLC in 2016, which has since evolved into an online academy that offers self-guided, Bible-based emotional health courses. Holy Ghost Homegirls also hosts an annual in-person conference, All Shades of Beautiful, which draws Christian women throughout California to encourage fellowship, spiritual growth, and ethnic and cultural diversity in God's kingdom. Most recently, Dr. Brookins was elected to the position of, and this is a mouthful, president of the PAW Northern California District Council of Christian Women's Auxiliary under the leadership of the world-renowned Bishop Noel Jones. With double doctorate degrees in both Christian and general psychology, Dr. Brookins uses her education and her life experiences to conduct phenomenological research to guide her curriculum. This data that collects through the lived experiences of Christian believers helps Dr. Brookins bring relevant content to the women of God and allows them to push past trials, diminish depression, challenge anxiety, and face the struggles that oppress them. Through her endeavors, women have found new excitement and the courage to stand on the Word of God and operate in Christian authority as the Lord intended. Let's hear from Andrea and jump into the episode. Our guest today is Dr. Antoinette Brookins, and let me just say, you're gonna love her. In our conversation, she talks about the origin story of Holy Ghost Homegirls. Yes, that is the name of her ministry, and it's awesome. She's a big believer in uplifting each other as women and speaking life and potential into each other. As a Christian therapist, she has a unique view on what it takes for us women to lead in our full potential. I know there will be something specific for each person who listens to this episode. So let's get to it. Welcome back, everyone, to the Lead Bold podcast. I'm Andrea Coley. I'm here with my co-host, Erin Hanley. Hi, Erin.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I need to come up with a different way to introduce you because I'm always just like, and Erin. Hi, Erin. So I'm just going to shake it up one of these days and you're not going to see it coming, but it's going to happen.
Just surprise me.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm out of left field. You're like world champion, yeah. Ping pong player,
yes.
Erin Hanley. Just really keep me on my toes.
Yes.
Okay.
And you'll just roll with it because I know you're good at that.
That's right.
We're so happy to be back here today recording with our guest, Dr. Antoinette Brookins. Hey, welcome, Antoinette.
Hey, guys. It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Really happy to have you. So the thing you have to know about Antoinette is she's one of those people that has a bunch of letters after her name because she's done a bunch of what we call the learning and the writing and the researching. So we are so honored to learn from you today. Antoinette and I met, what was that like, in the fall? Is that when we met? Yeah, I think so. Yes. Right?
Not right.
Well, we were both at a conference. She was leading one of the breakouts. I was on a panel, and it was a conference in the Sacramento area called Ladies First, and it was all about, you know, women in leadership, women in ministry. I sat in on your breakout, Antoinette, and I'm just like in the back of the room, just furiously writing in your handouts that you gave out, and was like, all right, I need to find a way to get to know this woman and invite her into our Lead Bold community. So how was that experience for you at that conference? Was that kind of a topic that you had done before?
Yeah, actually, I've done that quite a few times before because I really found that lots of leaders need that information. So it's really a highly requested, you know, topic. Mm-hmm. And I love to teach it. you know, it's a good reminder for myself, and I see how beneficial it is, you know, when other leaders take it. And so, yes, it was, I loved it.
I guess we should back up and you should tell them what it was. Erin,
I was going to say, I was
what?
Like, hold on, I wasn't there.
What did I miss? Tell Erin what it was.
Yeah, so we were really just looking at leaders and how to be the best leader that you can. And so we were looking at boundaries. We were looking at ways that we can take care of ourselves, when to kind of say that it's time for me to cut back or to move into a different area of ministry, just really trying to find balance, you know, between leading in our various ministries and just trying to make sure that we keep on top of all of the other things that we have to do as moms, as, you know, as wives, all of those kinds of things. So just really finding that balance in ministry is what we were talking about that day.
Oh, powerful. Those really like foundational, super structured pieces of what it means to be a leader that so often get like left behind, right? We're so committed to kind of taking care of people that like we speed bump over these things and then find ourselves having to return to them. So that's incredible.
Absolutely, right? And so that we can continue to love the things that we're doing.
Yes, absolutely. Snaps to that. Yeah, that's huge. And I just really remember feeling like you were, the way that you structured and kind of put context around what you were talking about made it just really engaging and really memorable. So I appreciate that. And so for those in our Lead Bold community who aren't familiar with you or don't know you yet, other than the bio that they already heard about you. So your ministry is called Holy Ghost Homegirls. So please, let's start off by explaining, okay, where did you come up with that? Why is it called that? What is it all about? Go.
Absolutely. So I was doing a conference for another pastor's wife. And so we were really talking about, how do we stay connected? How do we keep doing the ministry that the Lord has called us to do? And one of the things that I highlighted was that we all need a Holy Ghost homegirl. And so this Holy Ghost homegirl is one who kind of knows how to keep us in check, but also be very encouraging, you know, be our supporters, our cheerleaders, you know, somebody who is in line with God's principles, somebody who loves the Lord just as much as you do, you know, who can be that sounding board when we need it, not give us weird, you know, information or weird ungodly advice. It's like, we just need a Holy Ghost homegirl. And so they just loved, they loved the topic. They loved the idea of having a Holy Ghost homegirl. And so somebody walked up to me after that conference and they said, okay, so when are we going to have a Holy Ghost Homegirls conference? Right? And I was like, oh boy, thank you, Father, right? Because now the Lord, it just really resonated with me. And the Lord said, move with it. And so I did the whole trademark for Holy Ghost Homegirls. And so we just kind of took off from there. And really the premise of the Holy Ghost homegirls is so that we can stop the civil war in the church, right? Because we all need one another. You know, the women need one another, you know, because oftentimes we do a lot of the comparison and all that kind of stuff that gets us trapped. It just gets us trapped. And there's just really nothing good comes out of comparison, because now we're going to be dealing with the jealousy and the envy and like, oh, I don't really like women that much. I mean, all of that kind of stuff. But our sisters really are our resources. And that's really what this needs to be about. And so, yeah, that's how we started.
I love it.
It's really poignant, because as you explain it, of us being for each other. First of all, that just resonates with us at Lead Bold. I mean, that is so much, you know, kind of a big part of what we're trying to do and wanting to, you know, uphold that value. But what I love about your story about like its origin story is that it took another homegirl saying to you, giving you like this encouragement and this vision.
Yes.
And then for you to be like, oh, that's God speaking through her, bolstering me to do what he's called me to do. So it was just like, I mean, that is just like a picture of what the whole thing is. Could not, you can't write that stuff, right?
Right. That's right. Absolutely. I love when the Lord shows up like that. I love when he sends, you know, another woman specifically to say, hey, I'm seeing something here, right? Mm. You know, it gives us that encouragement because we all need it. It doesn't matter where we are in our Christian walk. We still need that, right? And so, yeah, I love telling that story. I love telling it.
Yeah, it flows really well too into kind of how we wanted to start in our conversation is really to hear more from you about who are the people that you're serving. You know, I think we all, as leaders, it's like, you know, we're partnering with God to care for some kind of group, some kind of category, whatever it is. Can you just dig a little bit more into what does that look like for you? And I think as I've seen you and what you're doing, it's almost like you are being that for other people also, that voice in them that says, you can do this too. And I just love the kind of mutual edification of that. So talk to us a little bit about who are your people and where's your heart and who is it to serve?
Absolutely. So believe it or not, I started working with men in men's anger management. And I thought that I was going to always stay there because I used to have an issue kind of connecting with women. Believe it or not, it's like, I felt like every time we got together, they just wanted to talk about shoes or they wanted to talk about hair. I'm like, girl, I want to talk about the Lord right now. It's like, I have some information that I want to teach, right? But, and so it's so funny now because I just kind of incorporate all of those things into our girl thing. So we talk about the hair, we talk about the shoes, and we talk about Jesus, right? And so women, it is who the Lord has called me to serve, right? Because it just shifted right back to what God had for me, right? And so women, and so like really for the past 20 years or so, I've really had the pleasure of working alongside his women, right? And teaching them how to manage their emotions, teaching them how to dig more into their spiritual life, giving them tools, giving them tips, right? I use a lot of my own story in doing that, right? It's like, listen, I got a sketchy past, but the Lord, he saw past all of that. He saw past all of that and says, nope, I have my stamp of approval on you. And I need for you to tell my women the same thing, that there's nothing that they have done that can disqualify them. Mm. Right. Mm. And so we talk about depression. We talk about anxiety because I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. Right. And so I have a PhD in Christian psychology and a PhD in general psychology because I wanted to cover all of the bases.
See, I told you there's a lot of letters behind that name. I told you all.
And I didn't want any doors to be closed. Yeah. I didn't want any doors to be closed. I wanted to be able to walk into the secular world and say, I have something to offer, right? And I also wanted to be able to walk into the Christian community because I was raised in church and I'm already knowing that a lot of people still look at, well, this whole psychology thing, that's not really for me. I'm leaning and depending on God. And I'm like, hey, check this out. I also have a PhD in Christian psychology and I've been raised in church and I am a pastor's wife. So I get it. I've lived it. I've helped other women to walk through it. Right. So, yeah. So we talk about social and emotional things, mental health topics, right? So all of the things that are necessary for us to make a fundamental change in our lives.
What do you find different, or do you find something different when you're working with women who are leaders in particular? So like women is kind of your larger group and you have these areas of expertise. A lot of our community is leaders. What are you finding that are added challenges for them or just kind of strongholds or roadblocks or whatever with what you're talking about?
Yeah. So when it comes to working with women leaders, really trying to find the balance between, you know, all of the things that we do, right? Imposter syndrome shows up on the scene a lot because they have more demands and they're called to go into various spaces and teach women. And so sometimes they feel like they're not qualified to do that, right? Because of things that they may have gone through in their lives, right? Or because like everything is not perfect in their marriage. And so they feel like I should be perfect in my marriage in order for me to be able to help other people walk through some of the transitions in their life. And that really is just a lie from the enemy, right? To keep our mouths closed, right? You know, to try to disqualify us when the Lord has already qualified us, right? You know, and so I tell them, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you studying? You know what I mean? Do you have a good fasting life? Like, what does your devotion look like, right? It's like, and so if you're telling me that like you're hitting these points, well, we know that that's just the enemy speaking because he doesn't want you to tell your testimony or he doesn't want you to be able to bring encouragement to someone, right? You know, because when we start telling our testimony, then other people feel encouraged. They're like, hey, I kind of dealt with some of that stuff too, right? And it's like, and it's good to see that somebody in leadership understands, you know, where I've been through. Yeah. So that's the main difference that I see between leaders and lay members, because lay members, they don't really have a lot of issues with imposter syndrome, or they don't feel the need to be perfect, right? So those are some of the differences that I see.
Yeah, those are really, really good. I think you're dead on that. It's what, you know, what we see all the time. And what I'm hearing too is just, you know, the need for leaders to be vulnerable, to be able to share some of those stories, so, you know, so that someone else can look at them and kind of just that willingness to peel back the layers. What do you feel like gets in the way for leaders to be able to be authentic or to share their story? And maybe even for you, you kind of mentioned, you know, you have a past and what got in the way for you?
Yeah. Well, fear of judgment, right? Because I have been raised in the church, and then this really full expectation for us to be, I don't know, on a higher pedestal or something like that gets in the way. Right. And when I first started telling my story, it was by accident. No, let me not say by accident. It was the Lord pushed it out of my mouth because in my own mind, I wouldn't have said it.
Wow. So was this kind of, were you in a conversation or were you like speaking? What, tell us about this.
Listen, it's always when I'm teaching. It's always when I'm
teaching. You gotta stick to your notes,
like he always waits for the big moments, you know what I mean? For me to put that out there. And it's crazy because right after it comes out of my mouth, I'll say, oh my gosh, to myself, I'm like, Nett, why did you say that? Like, they're not going to understand this, but let me tell you how good God is, because he'll always send somebody after the conference to say, that really blessed me. I have been dealing with that issue. And when you said it, I felt a sense of freedom. And so it's like, listen, so I just go with God now. So when he pushes stuff out my mouth, I just let it go. I let it go, right? And so, and that's been a blessing for me because it's freed me from some of the guilt and shame that I was holding on to, right? The Lord continues to remind me that you don't need to feel guilty about that. He says, you know, yeah, it was a bad choice, but listen, I used it for my good, right? I used it to minister to another woman because you are not the only woman who has dealt with that.
That's so powerful. I had a similar experience. I would, you know, I had never been baptized and I was kind of scared to, because it's a very public declaration of in front of others about your life. And I had already been serving in ministry for a long time and was like worship leading and things like that. But exactly that, it's this kind of part of your own head that says like, I don't want people to know that there's cracks in the floor, Lord. Like I'm scared for people to know that. And at the same time, had felt such a strong call to like, hey, people need to know that we are works in progress. And those are the kind of things that help bridge the gap from what we would consider to be leaders and lay people, right? Is the recognition that we are all works in progress under God's gracious hand, right? And it is, it's so powerful that like that step, right? Taking that step is often the scariest thing to do. And then you realize how, like you said, how good God is to come back around and to help you recognize that taking that step in obedience or taking that step out of fear to like say the hard thing, helps people recognize that like his grace is sufficient enough and we are more powerful because of our weaknesses, right? Power in his name, which is so amazing. And so very cool to hear that connection from you. And I love that the Lord was just like, I'm gonna push this right out your mouth, Antoinette. I'm just gonna push it right out, which is great. Right.
When, yeah, you talk about sort of, you know, these things that leaders, you see in them, or, you know, we as leaders kind of hope to have, you know, we mentioned vulnerability and kind of this willingness to tell our stories. And like you kept saying, that chance to keep growing, you know, and keep growing into our potential and being able to speak that into each other's life. Can you talk a little bit about what are some key components or just attributes that you hope to see in every leader, or just as you work with leaders, what are you seeing in leaders who are kind of staying on their track? You know, what are you seeing in them? And then how do we who are aspiring to those things, how do we build that in for ourselves?
Absolutely. So the two things that stand out is we have to always remain teachable. Right. And then also be a servant, right? We cannot be good leaders if we are not ourselves teachable and if we do not serve. Those are key components, because those who are aspiring to grow, those who we are teaching, right, working alongside of, right, they need to see, you know, what that looks like. Right? They need to see that we're able to get down in the trenches with them. Right? So it's like, once we start feeling like we have arrived, we've already missed the boat. Right?
Famous quote from Dr. Antoinette. It's so true. As soon as we think we're there, it's a sign that we're not there.
Right. Right. There is no room for arrogance, you know, when we are leading people. Just there is no room, right? Because first of all, it's a turnoff, right? And then for two, you know, people have to have something to strive towards, right? And if they're trying to strive towards this person who is always perfect, always does the right things at all of the right times, it's like, that's not really an attainable thing, right? So they have to see that that we are always learning, that we are also ourselves under the tutelage of someone else too, right? Because we can't like do ministry in a vacuum, right? And so when leaders fall prey to things like that, that's when the arrogance starts to kick in. That's when that unteachable, arrogant spirit starts to come in. And so we know that, you know, pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, right? So always being teachable, right? You know, and always, you know, encouraging them by working alongside of them as well, right? Never be too big to say that, hey, let me help you with this. Or if they can see that you are also, like, if we're working in a church setting, right, you know, and somebody needs papers, you know, handed out. Okay, well, if you're not teaching today, let them see you handing out, you know, the coursework for other people. Let them see you, maybe somebody needs a bottle of water. Let them see you also giving somebody a bottle of water, because it really is about us being servants. And so we have to always remember, like, who we are and who we're doing this for.
Yeah, I can't remember if we've talked about that here on the podcast or not, but it's, to me, it reminds me of that being either a here I am leader or a there you are leader, and kind of how do you enter the room? Is it like, oh, here I am, or oh, there you are? How can I be about you? How can I be paying attention to you so that I see that you need some water, or I see that I can help in some kind of way like that. What does that look like, do you think? Kind of just getting back to what you're talking about with the teachability, whatever the word is, teachableness-ishness. You know, I think so many of us, especially as women, not only feel the need to be confident and come across as confident, but it is a real thing. I mean, there is that. And kind of our hope is to be living in our giftedness. So there should be a sense of godly confidence in that, knowing that this is the spirit in me and the spirit will bring fruit through me in this, because that's how this works. And with that, also having that teachability, what do you see, like, where, how do you kind of walk that line as a leader to embrace the appropriate confidence, but not have it turn into arrogance? Can you help us distinguish that?
Absolutely. And so what you are referring to is what we call Godfidence. Right? Knowing that we get our confidence and our abilities through God and through no other thing, right? It is the Lord that has given me the ability to get this degree. It is the Lord who has given me the ability to teach this lesson and make sure that it's executed in the way that he would have us to execute. And so with that, I say making sure that our spiritual lives stay on point. Right? That we are praying, that we are fasting, that we are reading our word, that we are attending, you know, our local services, right? I call that the Christian coping skills, which is core conditioning for our soul, because if we are staying close to God in that way, we know that it's the Lord speaking, right? And so then we could speak with Christian authority, right? It's not coming from any other source, right? And so I think that's where all leaders need to be, right? They need to be there. But if you're not doing these things, right, then how can you say that you are operating in confidence, right? How can you say that you're operating in Christian authority if you're not always seeking him? So you're always going back to him, right? You know, he's our Lord, he's our Savior, and then he's our consultant, right? That means that we always have to talk to him. Right. And so when we're doing that, it keeps us away from being arrogant. Right. Because we know that this information that I got from him. And so whenever we are teaching, we always give glory to God. We always give glory to God. Right. Because it helps us to stay humble. Mm-hmm. Right. But it also helps us to know that I am doing this great work. I am leading in this capacity, and I have the ability to do this because God gave it to me. So that's how I kind of stay focused and grounded and growing, by the way, right? And so, and that's what I teach other women as well, right? To deflect from any of that, any of the arrogance or self-righteousness, because, you know, my own righteousness is as filthy rags, but the Lord has given me this ability and I'm about to knock it out of the park.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Christian coping skills, that I remember you talking about that in the workshop. Tell us about that again. And why do you call it that? How does that fit into your overall practice?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I'm doing psychotherapy with Christian women, you know, we're often looking for tools that we can use that align with the word of God, right? And so, because when I'm working in the secular population, they always have coping skills, right? And so we always say, okay, let's make sure that we're using our coping skills, right? So whatever those secular coping skills are, I'm like, we need Christian coping skills. Right. So what can I tell believers? You know what I mean? Spirit-filled believers, what can I tell them? Right. And so what it boiled down to was like, what are the things that we need to stay grounded in Christ? Right. And so we often talk about those things. Okay. So, okay, Do you feel better or worse when you read your Bible? I feel better. We have less anxiety, right? Especially, you know, when we know that, hey, we're supposed to be reading our Bible and we're not reading it, it adds to our anxiety, right? So, okay, what about prayer? How do you feel? I feel better when I'm in a space with God. Okay, great. What about when you are around your other brothers and sisters, like in a service? Oh, I feel better, right? These are all of the things that they're saying that makes them and helps them to feel better, right? And for those of us who fast, right? Okay, so how do you feel? Well, I'm pretty hungry and my head hurts a little bit, but I do feel stronger after the fact.
But I feel okay, closer great. To Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. So our Christian coping skills. So that's how I came up with those.
That's so cool. How do you help women not hold that like a to-do list? I think so many of us, especially if we grew up in the church, like I had a youth pastor that was like really hardcore about like, you know, you got to do all these things. And also he had this terrible analogy that was like, you should do it in the morning because a soldier does not put their armor on at night. They put it on in the morning. And okay, I'm not a morning person. I mean, now I do have now I can't do it at night, do anything at night meaningful past 7 o'clock. Mm. Let's just say that. Nothing good is gonna nothing productive is gonna come out of me after seven. But I just remember like feeling so constrained into this preconceived one size fits all model of read your Bible, pray, you know, like all the things. How can you help us engage those things with freedom, but also knowing, yeah, there are practices that do grow you stronger, stabilize you, all those things. Can you just distinguish that for us a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a great question. That is a great question. Growing up, they used to tell us that we had to pray for an hour.
Oh, no. Right?
Yeah, if you didn't pray for an hour, you might as well not be praying.
Like, right? Is this like, how old were you?
Yes. I mean, yes. These are the things that were ingrained in us. Oh. We prayed for an hour.
Oh, boy.
You know, when we prayed, we were on our knees with our eyes closed. Mm-hmm. Right? Those were the things that, and so, but the Lord dealt with me differently. And I struggled with that. I struggled with that because it's like, you know, like oftentimes I was not praying for an hour. I was like, man, it's like, are my prayers like disqualified? Like, did I just forfeit the prayer? You know what I mean? Right. And then it's like, so that wasn't working for me. And then the other thing was like, when I pray, I often pray with my eyes open. The Lord shows me things, right? I walk around. Right. I like to walk around my house and pray. Right. Sometimes I write a prayer. You know what I mean? Sometimes I sing a prayer. Right. And so there aren't any boxes. Right. That we have to really fit into. Right. And so now, is it a good practice, you know, to pray before your day gets started? I think so. Right. But I know that that's not everybody. Mm-hmm. Right. Some people are praying in their car while they're on their way to work. Right. You know, some people are praying while they are in the shower. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the thing about it is like, what works best for you? What works best for you? Right. It's very difficult to try to pray in the morning when you half asleep, because now you praying and sleeping at the same time. Right. You know, you keep dozing off. Right. So we have to ask ourselves, what works best for me? Right. Do I have more energy, you know, midday? You know what I mean? Where I feel like, okay, now I really have the time where I can pray. Now I have the time where I can read my word, you know? So whatever works for you, you know, I don't think the Lord would be pleased, you know, with having such demands or restrictions on how we serve and how we worship and, you know, when and when's a good time, because that just isn't going to work. Right. You know, because people will just say, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, I already missed my time today, so I'm just not going to do it. Right. That's what we find when we put too many restrictions on it. Right. And then also these things, just like any good coping skill, takes practice. Mm-hmm. It takes practice, right? So maybe your prayers are 3 minutes in the morning, right? And I think that's okay,
yeah.
Right? Maybe you can't get through a whole chapter. Maybe you read five good passages and five good verses and you understood it, right? Versus reading two or three chapters and you don't remember what you read,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think those things make a difference. Like, is it permeating? Do you feel a difference, right? But you have to practice, right? Because it's not people's natural inclination to pray, right? You know, it's that's not a natural thing. That's a spiritual thing, right? So we have to practice until we get to a point where it becomes enjoyable for us, right? Because mm-hmm. even fasting can become enjoyable, right? You know what I mean? But we do have to practice. We have to pace ourselves, right? And so that would be my suggestion.
Absolutely. There's that, I think it's Richard Foster, that like celebration of discipline. And there's so many different spiritual practices. And when I was going through that book, I was like kind of trying and engaging in different ones and found that some, like at the time, felt excruciating for me. Like the practice of like spiritual practice of like silence, like sitting in silence with God, mm-hmm. excruciating to me. I could talk to a wall.
Aaron, how did like, I know that I was going to be the one that you said?
I know. I was that kid where the teacher was like, I can't change your seat to anyone. Just talk to anybody. But no, that recognition of seeing at that point, like how complicated it felt as I was giving it a test out. And now like in a different season of life, as I've worked on that, like mm-hmm. recognizing that it's taken me a long time to feel really comfortable in doing that. And there are still days where that doesn't feel good. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it is, I really appreciate that empowerment of recognizing that, like, it does take intention and it takes practice. And there's also the freedom to say, like, we are not perfect people and it isn't going to feel perfect every day, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think I appreciate too just that, you know, there's the framework, but it's a really flexible framework. And, you know, especially as leaders, you know, we have to lead ourselves in this. And I appreciate just even some of those questions that you ask, Antoinette, that are, you know, really help you get to the nuts and bolts. Like, well, do you feel better or worse when this happens? You know, do you like, let's have wisdom. Mm-hmm. And, you know that there is discipline to it, but it's not a one size fits all. Well, we're like pretty much out of time, but I just, two things. First is, Antoinette, is there any other thing that you were just like dying to make sure to say to our Lead Bold community that we didn't get to talk to? I'll just be like blanket ask, what else do you want to say? Go.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, keep pushing, keep striving, right? This thing called ministry is ever changing. Mm. You know, the Lord will evolve us, right? There'll be times when the Lord will tell us, okay, I need you to slow down a bit, right? You know, but stay in tune with God and move when he says move, right? You know, we don't have to ask a bunch of questions, although we want to. Sometimes I ask the Lord these questions. Are you sure? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we do a little Moses, like, but what about this, God? What about this? Have you thought about this? Here's a problem, God. It's like, just do it.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm telling you, I asked the Lord a bunch of questions, right? You know, but we don't always, we don't always have to. I've always been an inquisitive person. I'd be wanting to know why, right? You know, and sometimes he tells me and sometimes he says, keep going, right? So just listen to God, go with God, right? Because ministry really should be enjoyable. Although it's tough work, it should be enjoyable knowing that we're doing the things that the Lord has called us to do.
Yeah, that's a really good word. Thank you for that. Last, in just a couple of weeks, you have your Holy Ghost Homegirls is putting on the conference, All Shades Are Beautiful. And we just hope anybody in our Lead Bold community that wants to be a part of that would jump on that website and see what's what. So can you just real quick tell us the heart behind that and how we can get tickets?
Absolutely. So All Shades of Beautiful, just looking around and seeing all of my beautiful sisters, and we just look so differently, right? You know, we come in all different hues and skin colors, right? And just when we get together, it's a party. You know, we just want to celebrate the differences that we have, right? And so when we come together, we talk about, you know, heavy hidden stuff, right? You know, so we talk about the imposter syndrome. We talk about how to manage our anger effectively, right? And we start to really dismiss any of those myths to say that, you know, Christian women don't experience anger or don't experience aggression sometimes. So we talk about like, what are the underlying issues with that? How do we get past it, right? So it's not just about motivation. We lead with tools. We lead with tools so that we can keep going and keep growing, right? And so you can get tickets. You can go to holyghosthomegirls.com, right? And so there'll be a pop-up right when you go to that website. There'll be a pop-up where you can get your ticket.
All right. That's tell us the date again.
It is April 6th, and it is from 8 till about 4.
Awesome. Right? So good.
And we'll
a full day. Good. Yeah. I love that. I would expect nothing less than we would leave with tools because you're in there. And of course you're going to be like, you're going to have some tools. So yeah, check it out. Antoinette, so wonderful to have you with us, just your wisdom, your kindness. And again, just how you come with just real meat that we can take into our lives and just in a real freeing way though too. So I appreciate you and we're glad you're part of our community.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And I know that I have more Holy Ghost homegirls, so that works for me.
Nice. All right, everybody, until next time, just keep savoring what we talked about here today and we'll be with you next time. Bye.
Well, we hope you really enjoyed that conversation with Dr. Antoinette Brookins. We know that we did, and we hope that her words are an encouragement to you and lift you up. Please know that you can find out all kinds of information about us at Lead Bold on our website, leadingbold.org. We know that some of our cohorts have already kicked off for the year and there are upcoming events with us. We'd love for you to be involved. We'd love to get to know you more. We would love to align you with your very own Holy Ghost homegirls. within the Lead Bold community. So until we hear from you next time, feel free to check us out there and on our Instagram and keep leading bold.